This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour number three of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got an absolutely tremendous hour for you as things are all signed, sealed, and delivered in the NBA. The OKC Thunder, they do get the job done in game number seven. We'll take a look to see how they were able to pull this off and well, the residual effects that are certainly going to be felt in the 2025-26 season. Additionally, we need to take a look at who might be able to win the title next season and who might be the biggest competition to the OKC Thunder. If you're looking at what we've all got on this Monday, we've got ourselves nine games on the board in terms of the MLB card. We'll see if we can get you guys an opener with regards to this Nationals versus Padres game. Currently, as I'm doing this, this is off the board, but sometimes they pop one up very, very late, so hopefully we can get ourselves a nice little present there. But how about if we first things first, look at what was such a gift for us for so long, the NBA playoffs. Like, I mean, just betting aside, this was a really, really good postseason. You actually got some really competitive games. The fact that, in my opinion, maybe it's just me, I love the fact that we had the Pacers make the run that they did. I sometimes get sick of, like, the one seeds being able to come through because, I mean, the biggest reason why I love college basketball a little bit more than the NBA is that I feel like you just are able to get a little bit more of an unexpected result in college basketball. Go figure this year in college basketball went all chalk and you got the Indiana Pacers make the run that they did in the NBA. So one of those random one-off years in basketball in general, but in the end, the OKC Thunder, who had the 68 games won in the regular season, the team that was the one seed out west, they do indeed get the job done. They do so by a count of 103-91. Yet another game seven that goes under the total. And this one didn't just go under the total. This one went under by 20 plus points. So you really didn't need to have to sweat this one after what we saw just a few minutes into the game. Tyrese Haliburton is cooking. He goes 3 of 4 from 3-point range. I mean, there was a social media photo circulating about what he was doing in terms of just the way that he was staring down. He looked so determined, and you were thinking, all right, we've got ourselves a chance if you're the Indiana Pacers. And then the Achilles goes. And that was a brutal, brutal sight, to say the least. And, I mean, to the credit of the Pacers, they actually enter into the halftime locker room with a 1-point lead. It just felt like they completely ran out of gas, and they just, for lack of a better term, got figured out. Felt like the OKC Thunder, they had to just try to look at things without Tyrese Haliburton being out there and think, all right, we got to make a few adjustments. They're clearly going to a lot of Ben Mathurin, who had 24 points and 13 rebounds, but I mean, it felt a little bit hollow because he was trying to get to the free throw line, and I mean, a lot of that came late. You had TJ McConnell be able to throw in their 16 points. So if you took those two guys over your player prop, and I did take Ben Mathurin over his player prop, you were feeling relatively good about that. But for the Indiana Pacers, the key number in this game was 21. 21 turnovers. And if you look at when Tyrese Haliburton is out there on the floor, yeah, he does have a few more turnovers than most. Yeah, that is a little bit of an issue, but I would have to think that things would have been a little bit different. Do the Pacers cover the +6.5, +7, and you're able to get in a little bit earlier, even better than that number. Who knows? I mean, heck, maybe the margin of defeat is even worse. We never know what is going to be the case, but I mean, that's just the big question that you get, and what is not questioned is the fact that the OKC Thunder looked very dominant all throughout the season. Did they show a few warts during the postseason? Yeah, they did. Even going back to that Memphis Grizzlies series, there was a game or two that was a little bit less than savory, but I mean, all in all, this was a very, very dominant team, and we were talking about it with Mike Meltzer in hour number two, and if you missed that conversation, he does a tremendous job over at Mad Dog Radio, VSiN.com/podcast. You're able to catch up on that, but I mean, he was talking about it. This OKC Thunder team has assets. Like, man, they still have some first-round pick collateral that they're able to utilize, either A, for themselves, or B, to be able to go out there, get another piece. A lot of these guys are on very controllable contracts. You've got a lot of guys like Chet Holmgren and company still on their rookie deals as well. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, not like this guy is some sort of a super old guy or something like that. He's still 27 years old. So you've got yourself a bunch that is set up for very much the long term and for the Indiana Pacers. I mean, a team that I thought they were setting themselves up to be really good in the Eastern Conference. I was thinking, all right, the Indiana Pacers, especially with the Boston Celtics dealing with the Jason Tatum injury, especially with the just Giannis news, and I mean, what we're going to be seeing out of him, we have no idea where Giannis Antetokounmpo is going. Does he stay with the Bucks? Does he stay out East? I can't think that he goes west. Like, if you're Giannis Antetokounmpo, do you really want to be going into the Hornets nest? That is one of those Western Conference teams. For me, it would be no thanks, I'm good. But, yeah, you got an Eastern Conference that is just very intriguing, to say the least. But I do think that there are some teams out west that could be able to provide you a little bit of bang for your buck. And I do think that there is a few teams just out there on the board in general that are going to be very interesting. And we'll discuss those in a second right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. But as we know, for the NBA, we are not going to be seeing another game played until October. Well, you're going to be seeing some Summer League action, which that's always a lot of fun. If you ever come out to lovely Las Vegas for Summer League, you'll have yourself a good time. I've enjoyed it many times myself, but what you're also going to be enjoying is some NFL action, as that's going to be coming up sooner rather than later. And here at VSiN, we're getting you set for it all. $175 gets you in on our early bird special. This is everything that we do throughout the NFL season, as this gets you all the way through the Super Bowl, and you get everything that we do every day. The daily best emails from our VSiN show-ups and guests, exclusive betting splits, full access to the VSiN Watch app, where you're able to check out show replays and everything live, deep dive analytics and betting tools, and so much more. Go on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That'll get you in on this early bird special all throughout the football season. VSIN.com/subscribe. As it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Eves Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And we do have an NFL betting guide that's going to be coming out, by the way, on July 1st. I made my picks in terms of the teams that I think are going to be making the postseason. Have a few wagers in there. I'm not too much of a futures guy, so don't expect 100 million billion futures from me, but I've got, I believe, a 16-day-in-a-row stretch, and I'm going to give you guys a lot of football there, so that'll hopefully whet your appetite there. I've got thoughts on all 32 teams. I've got something planned for that, so we are going to have ourselves a lot of fun on that front. That's going to be tremendous, but I mean, we've got ourselves a lot of fun to take a look at in terms of this NBA futures market as well, because, like, my goodness, it is just a completely big, giant mess right now. Like, some books have adjusted for the Indiana Pacers being without Tyrese Haliburton. Some have not. Like right now, I'm seeing over at DraftKings, the Indiana Pacers are 18-1 to be able to win the title. Right now, over on another book, I'm seeing 42-1. So always shop around accordingly with regards to these futures. But I just take a look at the board right now, and the one team I absolutely would not recommend betting on, well, the Phoenix Suns. I'm sorry. You just can't bet on the Phoenix Suns with the title. But I know, among the teams that are sub 100-1 to be able to win the title, I would say that that's the New York Knicks. Like, why this team is at plus 750? They're right now the odds-on favorite to be able to win the East. I really don't get it. And, I mean, this is a solid New York Knicks team. Don't get me wrong. It's not like these are a bunch of schlubs and pushovers or anything like that. You've got the Villanova gang, and you've got a whole lot of guys that they came over and they've been playing with each other ever since college. So, I mean, that's rock solid, but they still feel like they're a few pieces away on the bench. I'd be looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers at 9-1 rather than the plus 750 of the New York Knicks. I'm fully convinced that they just quite aren't on that level yet. The New York Knicks are, heck, for lack of better term, out east as well. I look at the Orlando Magic and the fact that they're in a lot of places north of 12-1. I think that you've got some relatively solid value there as well. The one thing that they were really lacking was three-point shooting last season. They go all in on Desmond Bane, and these are the teams that I do want to look at as well. These teams that they say, you know what, we are going to make a move and we're going to go all in. Now, I did not feel that way about the Philadelphia 76ers because, yeah, I saw that Paul George move not panning out, and boy, did that not pan out. And right now, in some places, 76ers are between about 34-40-1. Sight unseen, no value there. And the Milwaukee Bucks might be the most interesting team because you might actually be able to get the best bang for your buck if Giannis Antetokounmpo comes back. Like, I'm seeing in some places north of 50-1 on the Milwaukee Bucks. But you're really banking on a dream. Like, does Giannis Antetokounmpo decide to return? I lived my first 22 years of my life out there in the great state of Wisconsin. I can tell you he's got a lot of affinity for the area. He does sort of like being that big fish in a small pond, and he really does love the state of Wisconsin. So, I mean, that's a good thing, but I mean, if he's being real with himself, does he really want to stick around? I'm not quite sure. Only Giannis Antetokounmpo might have that answer, and Giannis might not have that answer right now. He might need a few weeks. He might need to be courted, taking on some nice dinners, what have you. Who knows? But that's an interesting team, to say the least. But the team that I just keep going back to that I think has a little bit of value, the Denver Nuggets at between 16 to 18 to 1. And here's why. And it's a very simple, logical argument, in my opinion. You got the best player on planet Earth in Nikola Jokic. I mean, they are outside the top five at a lot of books to be able to win the title. Why not the Denver Nuggets? Well, I can give you one reason. What we saw out of Russell Westbrook this season. That's not great, to say the least, but I mean, this is a team that won the title a few short years ago, and they still have a lot of the components from that team as well. Now, are they a little bit hamstrung in terms of some of the moves that they might be able to make this offseason? Sure, but I still like the overall makeup of this team. They do have to go through the OKC Thunder, and that's an issue, but I mean, Jamal Murray's still there. Christian Brown has been a rock-solid player for this team. You still have Aaron Gordon. You still have Michael Porter Jr., who he could be a little bit hit or miss. I mean, if one of these guys could step up, if you could get a little bit more out of, say, like a Peyton Watson, for example, I really do think that you've got some upside with this team. So, I mean, I'd be looking there. And if the San Antonio Spurs get a fully healthy Victor Wembanyama after he unfortunately had his season cut short, that's another team that I'm going to be taking a look at as well. But something else that we have to dive in on, some baseball. We've got ourselves 9 games on the slate for Monday, and we'll break some of those down next right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And we're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight. Also holding it down for us tonight is some Major League Baseball, as now the NBA season is done. We sort of get into the dog days of summer. Unfortunately, we did not get a Game 3 in terms of College Baseball World Series. Still was a really fun Baseball World Series, as LSU Tigers, they get the job done in 2 games over Coastal Carolina. 2 very fun, exciting games. Game number 2 got away from Coastal Carolina a little bit, but hey, if you took the under, it was still very fun for you, so always love to be able to see that. And how about if we do take a look at an under in a game where maybe the pitching matchup isn't what you'd expect it to be, but I do think that there's a little bit of value here. How about if we go 9-0-9-9-10 on the card? It is the Walker Texas Rangers on the road against the Baltimore Orioles. Trevor Rogers is on the bump for the O's, and Patrick Corbin goes for Texas. Texas is back to being an underdog, anywhere between plus 105 to a plus 115. Anywhere in the neighborhood about minus 120 to minus 128 is that number on Baltimore. And total is right around about 9.5, shaded up to the over. And what's been interesting about Trevor Rogers is if you look at the minor league numbers, he's been awful. Like, he's got north of a 5 ERA at the minor league level. The advanced numbers, the, shall we say, fielding independent, what have you, actually much better than that. He's not getting a ton of strikeouts, but he's not really like killing himself, giving up a million homers or anything like that. But I mean, his first few starts at the big league level have actually been pretty rock solid. So I don't necessarily know where this has come from in general, but he's been able to look relatively good after, I mean, they traded for him last season and he was just a big giant flop. And it's going to be very curious to see what the Orioles do moving forward, because they're one of just 3 teams in the American League, more than 2.5 games out of that final wild card spot, but I mean, they've been playing some better baseball recently. The concern for the Baltimore Orioles right now has to be that bullpen, as you've got Felix Bautista, who's been pretty solid, Keegan Aiken, that's been rock solid, and then you have to bank on Sir Anthony Dominguez, Gregory Soto, throw in there Yennier Cano. Don't you know he's got north of 4 ERA? That's been not great, to say the least, but now that you're getting your full allotment of pieces back at the fold for the team, I do think that that provides a little bit of upside and a little bit of value in general. As for this Baltimore Orioles team, it's been hit or miss in the lineup. Now, Jordan Westberg is right now day-to-day, but just getting him off the injured list, that's big for the long-term outlook of this team. Tyler O'Neill continues to be on the injured list, so that's been a little bit rough, but you've been able to mix and match with the likes of a Ramon Urias. Gunnar Henderson has been really one of the main constants in terms of being able to get on base for this team, hitting north of a 270. Not a ton of power. Cedric Mullins is right now leading the way with 12 home runs, and he had a really nice, shall we say, first like 2 weeks of the season. Then his on-base percentage and just being able to get on base, that has been a little bit of an issue. But Ramon Laureano's actually giving you a little bit of something. Heston Kure said was just not panning out for the team, so and to send him down to the minor league level, that's not necessarily what you were hoping for. But you know whose offense is not what you were really hoping for? The Texas Rangers. Bottom five team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game, and it's just mind-numbing because they've spent quite a bit of money in this lineup. Like, Josh Smith has been probably your most consistent hitter for this team, hanging north of 280. Wyatt Langford, deal with injury over the last few days, has been less than tremendous. He has been able to give you a double-figure amount of homers, so and you do like that, but you've got a whole bunch of different guys. Jock Peterson, when he's been out there because he's currently on the injured list, throwing there Adolis Garcia, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, all these guys hitting a 240 or lower, all these guys really not giving you a ton of power, so have your issues there. Jonah Heim and Kyle Higashioka have not cut it at the catcher spot. You've got a guy, and Evan Carter has actually looked relatively solid in his first few at-bats back with the team, but all in all, I do have some big giant question marks with regards to the Texas Rangers lineup, though the bullpen has been solid, and I mean, it's been more impressive because they've been without Nathan Eovaldi and Tyler Molly over the last few weeks. So you've needed these guys to be able to step up, like a Hobie Milner, Luke Jackson, Robert Garcia, a whole bunch of guys that are giving you a sub-3 ERA. So even though the starting pitching matchup of Patrick Corbin, and I think that Patrick Corbin is going to start to regress a little bit for Corbin, about a 391 ERA. Fielding independent is more in the 4-5 range. He has been giving up the deep ball, giving up 1.3 home runs per 9 innings. The strikeout numbers are just simply not there for him, to say the least. A little bit north of 6.5 strikeouts for 9 innings, but I do think that this game is able to hold under, as we've seen with the ballpark dimensions of Baltimore. They've been mixing and matching a little bit, but still seems to be playing a little bit more friendly to the pitchers. So I did set my money line price here to minus 126 on the Orioles. I'm seeing in a lot of places in that neighborhood minus 125. Wouldn't want to go past that, but going to be in on the O's, and I'm going to be in on this total under as well. Set my total a little bit north of 9, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we take a look at another interesting American League game? I was talking about it in the last hour. You've got a lot of intrigue with these teams that are finding themselves like two and a half games out of the wild card, and you've got one team that if the season ended today, they'd be in a two-way tango for that final wild card spot, and you've got another team that is indeed 2.5 games out. That'd be the Minnesota Twins, who's 2.5 games out, playing us the Seattle Mariners. As Brian Wu is on the bump for the Mariners, so woohoo for him, and you've got Bailey Ober on the bump for Minnesota. Minnesota is right now an underdog of between even money slash a plus 110, anywhere between minus 115 to minus 120 is that number on Seattle. Total on this game is 8.5. Now that you're starting to get some plus money, I probably would want a little bit more on it. That's going to be willing to get me in on the Minnesota Twins. I needed at least a plus 105 to be able to do so. This was very much clearly a case for myself where underdog was going to be the team that got my money. Because for the Seattle Mariners, they are having to travel from west to pretty much the lovely Midwest. And for Brian Woop, he's been solid. He's been able to give you a sub 3.5 ERA. He's not necessarily getting the strikeouts that he did as a rookie, but still giving you about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings. His best attribute has been not walking guys, fewer than 2 walks per 9 innings. And I think that Bailey Ober is doing for a little bit of positivity for Bailey Ober. He's been a much better pitcher at home rather than on the road last few seasons. Now, the concern for Bailey Ober is that he just has really regressed in terms of the swing and miss stuff. He's only getting about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, and the deep ball has been very much present in his last starts, as he has given up 4-plus runs in each out of his last 3 starts, and he's given up 7 bombs in that time span as well. So not necessarily what you want to see there, but I do think that he's going to be able to return a little bit more to form out there in Target Field, where he's been able to keep things a little bit more out in front of him with regards to the walks numbers and in terms of the strikeout numbers being a bit better as well. Just a little bit more of a comfort level there. And what I think is really critical for the Twins and the reason why we have seen them regress, it's been the bullpen. for the bullpen. They are, overall for the season, a little bit below average in terms of their ERA. A month ago, they were looking at being like a top five, top seven team in terms of bullpen ERA, so that's been the big issue for them. You still do have the top guys being the top guys. Yoan Duran, along with, as well, Danny Kalum, Louis Varland, giving you a sub-3.5 ERA, but the guys like Griffin Jackson company are just not holding up their end of the bargain. That's been a concern, and they did have to utilize quite a few of those bullpen pieces against the Milwaukee Brewers on Sunday, but still should have a lot of these guys all good to go. Flip side for the Seattle Mariners, I do have a little bit of trepidation with them going from Wrigley Field, where it was a bandbox all weekend long. It was like 100 million, billion degrees. Wind was blowing out. It was just easy to be able to crush a ball. Now you go to Minnesota, where it's not going to be quite as warm. It's still going to be probably some solid temperatures, but certainly you're not going to get the windy conditions like you were getting out there in the Windy City. Cal Raleigh, big dumper. Four straight games with a home run, 31 bombs, and I'm going to need to do the math in my head, because if I'm not mistaken, he is currently on pace to be able to set an American League record for most home runs in a season. I believe that the Seattle Mariners have now played a grand total of 75 games. It might be 76. We'll do 76 just to be safe. But I mean, this guy, he is right now on pace to be able to hit 66 home runs. 66! Like, that's the base that Cal Raleigh's on. And I recognize that Aaron Judge is a very demonstrative favorite to be able to win MVP. Yes. But if Cal Raleigh hits 66 home runs, you have to, at the very least, have him enter into the chat. Like, I'm not saying that he needs to win the MVP award, but if he puts up 66 home runs, don't we need to at least talk about that a little bit? Especially if the Seattle Mariners make the playoffs. Like, what Cal Raleigh is doing is very underrated at the catcher spot. Like, he's been a relatively solid, like, defensive catcher for this team. He's going out there day in and day out, getting the job done. I recognize that sometimes they can DH him as well, but, I mean, what Cal Raleigh has meant to the Seattle Mariners team has been really second to none thus far this season. He's down to about plus 550 to be able to win American League MVP. I mean, we saw Aaron Judge for the longest time being minus 6,000. So, I mean, he's really done a nice job there. But then you take a look at the rest of the Seattle Mariners lineup. You've got J.P. Crawford give you about a 400 on base. Roddy Tellez doesn't hit for any average whatsoever, but he's giving you a double-figure amount of bombs as well. So, a very interesting scenario. You've had the top guys be the top guys in this bullpen as well. Gabe Spier, Matt Brash, Andres Munoz have been able to give you a sub-3 ERA. But I do think that for the Twins, where it's been less than savory to say the least, I think that this could be a little bit of bounce back for Bailey Ober and company. And again, I think that that transition for Seattle going away from just really good hitterish conditions out there in Chicago on over to Minnesota going to be a little bit costly for them. So I did set a lower total of an 8.2. I like the under, and I do like the money line here of the Minnesota Twins being able to get plus money. And coming up next, how about if we do go to the Windy City? I was mentioning the conditions in Chicago a little bit before, but we're going to talk about the White Sox on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we've got ourselves a lot to take a look at in terms of Major League Baseball. Becoming one of the main games in town, with a lot of things wrapping up with regards to all the, shall we say, winter / spring sports. We saw a finals winner crowned in the NBA with the OKC Thunder being able to get the job done by count of 103-91. You saw the College World Series final wrap up as well, which means that we've got ourselves a lot of baseball on our hands. Still trying to see if we can get an opener, by the way, in this Padres versus Angels games, and we did get it. So we're going to be able to hit upon that in a few minutes, but first things first, I promise you some Chicago White Sox baseball. Now, for some people, they might be thinking, why did you promise us some Chicago White Sox baseball? And the answer is very simple. You're able to make money on Chicago White Sox games, and we're going to look to do so here. This is 917-918 on the card, as the Arizona Diamondbacks are on the road going up against Chicago, as it is going to be one Eduardo Rodriguez who's going to be getting the start for them, and old Shane Smith is on the bump for the White Sox, and White Sox anywhere between about a plus 110 to a plus 120 underdog, and that neighbored about a minus 125 to a minus 135, that number on Arizona, and the total on this game is 9. Now, you want to be taking a look at the recent form of Eduardo Rodriguez rather than the entire season numbers. The entire season numbers are gross. for Eduardo Rodriguez, north of a 4.90 ERA, giving up north of 1.6 home runs per nine innings. He's given up 3.3 walks per nine. Less than tremendous, to say the least. But if you look at the last three starts, since he came off the injured list, he has given up one or two runs in all three of these starts. The strikeout numbers are still solid. He's still getting well north of 8 strikeouts for 9 innings. Shane Smith, not necessarily a strikeout artist for the White Sox, but it's starting to come along. He's been able to give you about 8 or so strikeouts per 9 innings, so that's something that you do like to see. And he's backed up by a bullpen that has not necessarily been tremendous, but Cam Boozer hitting the injured list might actually be a good thing for this team. He really wasn't giving you too much. Mike Vasil having to go from the bullpen to being a starter is a little bit less than savory for them. But Ian Smith, even though he might not have the world's greatest amount of bullpen support, he's been solid. A 2.85 ERA. Feel you pin it more around about a 3.50, as the biggest thing for him is that he has been giving up right in the neighborhood about 3 to 3.1 walks per 9 innings, so that's been a scourge bit of an issue. But he's doing a nice job keeping the ball in the yard, giving up less than a home run per 9 innings. And I do think that you've got solid value here to the under, mainly because for the Chicago White Sox, this has not been a great lineup, to say the least. You've got Miguel Vargas, who's been able to give you 10 home runs this far this season. Andrew Benintendi's may have moved the line a little bit, but you just take a look up and down the boulevard. You're not getting a lot of production out of some of these guys. Joshua Palacios, Josh Rojas, Luis Robert. I mean, you got a lot of guys hitting a 220 or lower for the team. Brooks Baldwin has not necessarily been great. And I mean, to dwell on Robert here for a second, it just feels like when you sometimes have a good player like a Luis Robert, and he's on a bad team, that the stink just seeps into him. I mean, he's hitting below the Mendoza 500 with 6 home runs. Recognize that he's getting some stolen bases, but man, that guy has been rough. And it got so bad for Andrew Vaughn, they had to send him down to the injured list when he's they had to send him down to the minor leagues when he was providing like a 218 on base too. So it's been less than great for the Chicago White Sox lineup, a bottom four team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game, and for Arizona, top four team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. How about Eugenio Suarez? Up to 25 home runs this season. Corbin Carroll has been able to give you 20 bombs. You've been able to get good production on these ancillary guys that they find a way to be able to move the line. Like, you've had Gabriel Moreno along with someone like an Alec Thomas do a nice job being able to mix and match. Josh Naylor is hitting just below a 300. And then Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte has been able to do a nice job of giving you that Parte. He's been able to give you a home run every about 13 or so at bats, 400 on base. I do think that for the Diamondbacks, they do a solid job of being able to back up Eduardo Rodriguez with that regard. Now, the bullpen has been less than tremendous. You've got a bullpen that has a lot of guys that just have not been able to step up in general. You've been having north of a 4 ERA out of many of these guys, like a Justin Martinez. They trotted out their Kendall Graveman, and they had to put him back on the injured list after he was not effective. And I mean, these guys like Kevin Ginkle and company are just not cutting it. It's really been Jalen Beeks along with Shelby Miller who will be able to supply a sub 3.5 ERA. Juan Murillo has not been great either. But that said, I do think that for Rodriguez, he's starting to come into form. Needed to hit the injured list. Ever since then, he's been able to do a solid job. And going against this White Sox lineup that is less than tremendous, I think that this will be his best friend. So I do like the Arizona Diamondbacks here on the money line. We'll be willing to go up to a minus 142. I do think that both of these pitchers give you a good start. Semi-total at 80.3, so I'm in on the under as well. And something else that we're in on is Edge Boost. Edge Boost is making sure that bettors are able to access their funds all day, every day, for whatever gambling transactions lie ahead for them. It is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring that everything is always approved. There's no usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards when you utilize Edge Boost as well. And when you go to edgeboost.bet, utilize that promo code of Greg, G-R-E-G. Actually, you can utilize the promo code of Cash, C-A-S-H. I utilize that one for my baseball podcast, so you can actually use both of them. But if you want to use Cash, use Cash. Use Greg if you want to. Both of them work. That'll get you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit up to $25. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eves-Peterson on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Unintentional shameless plug. I do break down every single baseball game every single day, and I will be utilizing the Edge Boost promo with the promo code of Greg, G-R-E-G, for that as well. But that said, we've got you covered there in terms of baseball every single day. So anything that I might not be hitting on these shows, what have you, we've got you guys all covered there. And we do have you guys covered with this game now, because with the Washington Nationals and the San Diego Padres finally starting to see a little bit of an opener on this game, as for the San Diego Padres, they're thinking it should be Stephen Kolek, but right now, with the price, I don't think that it would be. I'm right now seeing over on a FanDuel opener. The Padres at a minus 158, plus 134 on the Washington Nationals, as we know we're getting Mitchell Parker for the Nationals. The total on this game is 8, and I mean, if you are getting Stephen Kolek here, I set my total at 8.4, so I will be looking at that total over, but I set the Padres at a minus 226. Again, we don't know if it's going to be Stephen Kolek or not. I recognize that Kolek hasn't necessarily been the world's greatest pitcher, but I mean, he's been able to hold down the fort, give you a sub-375 ERA, and Mitchell Parker is right now not holding down the fort. You had Parker be able to give you a few relatively solid starts to begin the season, and all of a sudden, things just went straight down the toilet bowl for him, as he's right now supplying north of a 4.5 ERA. He's really not giving you a lot of swings and misses, as he's only recording about 6.5 strikeouts, the 3.5 walks for 9 innings, and I mean, the milk has just went very, very sour for him. He has been giving up a combined 3 home runs in his last 2 starts, and I mean, it's been just such an hodgepodge for him thus far this season in general, as well as, I mean, this is someone that he's able to go out there and he's able to induce a little bit of soft contact, but you take a look at him on the road, 5.93 ERA, and on the road, he is giving up well north of 1.4 home runs per 9 innings, and he's backed up by a bullpen that is terrible. So if you do get this 8 that I'm seeing on the opener across the board, I very much do like the over, because with this Washington Nationals team, you've got Kyle Finnegan as a closer being able to give you a sub-3 ERA, but past that, who else is really stepping up in this bullpen? The likes of Jackson Rutledge, Eduardo Salazar are posting up well north of a 5 ERA. You've got Zach Brzezinski, who's been able to give you a bit of something, but still north of a 4 there as well. And then you've got a San Diego Padres team that, I know, let's call it what it is. It's been a pretty pedestrian lineup this season, right around about league average in terms of their runs per game. But you do have a trio of guys, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Gavin Sheets, who all hit for a relatively solid average. You've got all these guys give you double-figure amount of bombs. And for Machado, not just a solid average, a very good average, as he's been able to give this team a north of a 300 average. For Jackson Merrill, it's been a little bit hit or miss for him as well, but when he's been out there, he's been able to give you some good production in terms of hitting for average, not necessarily giving you a lot of power this season. The real issue for this team has been, for one, the catcher spot. Both of their catchers have been less than tremendous. And then these guys like Brandon Lockridge and company that they're trying to be able to mix and match with. And for the Washington Nationals, you've had James Wood be able to provide good wood, 20-plus home runs. They even put up a 7 spot against the LA Dodgers here on Sunday. So, I mean, that was tremendous. You've got CJ Abrams, who's now giving you a double-figure amount of homers, along with Nathaniel Lowe. Lowe doesn't really hit for a lot of average. And you do have someone like a Josh Bell hitting below the middle sign of a 200. That's a little bit of an issue, but I do believe that this line should be much, much more demonstrative than what we're finding. And if you're taking a look at that run line right now, that's where I'd be looking on this initial opener. You're getting that at a plus 138, and whether you're getting Stephen Kolek or someone else, you're in good hands with this bullpen, as you've got Jeremiah Estrada, who's been very rock solid out of this bullpen. He, Jason Adam, Audrey Morajon, Yuki Matsui, all give you a sub-325 ERA. Now, the one concern has been Robert Suarez. He's blown a pair of saves over the last 9 days, so you're going to need him to round back into form a little bit more, and might be getting suspended for what we saw with the whole Shohei Ohtani situation over the weekend. But I mean, that said, he's still been one of the better closers in all baseball. He's going to be able to snap out of that funk. And with the Washington Nationals, I just don't have any faith in that bullpen whatsoever. So right now, seeing that initial opener, we'll be looking at the run line of the San Diego Padres right now with that 8. Set my total at an 8.4. If you go to an 8.5, I'd be on the under. But here at an 8, I do like that over as well. And to wrap up the show next, we're going to get you guys all that I'm taking a look at in Major League Baseball. We've only got 9 games on the card, so it's a little bit of a smaller slate, but it is a fun slate, and it's going to hold us down through the summer months as we're going to be powering through and going to take a little bit of a look at the futures market for this upcoming NBA season as well. That's up next right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's the final segment of the night right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're listening live / watching live to Cashing Out, well, you're going to be getting a replay of this fine program. Meanwhile, if you're listening to the replay coming up 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time, 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern, it's Jensen Lewis along Dave Ross with VSiN by the Books. I can tell you who the first guest is going to be. This guy right here, I'm going to be up and at him very early. Always love to be able to pull the double dip there, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And we've got a numbers game coming up with Gil Alexander tomorrow. We've got ourselves VSiN Money Moves as well with Stormy Bond and Tony and company. So we've got a great slate. And now it is my job to be able to get you to that great Monday slate safely, hopefully with a little bit more money in pocket as well. And before we dive in on some of these baseball games that we've got for Monday, because we do have ourselves a little bit more of a bear board, Mondays and Thursdays are always getaway days with Major League Baseball. How about if we do take a look at just a little bit of the value that I find in terms of the NBA futures market? And I will say, you ought to be probably feeling pretty secure about the NBA futures market if you're betting it right now, because, well, you're going to be tying up your money for about 365 days. Because if it was Game 7, maybe a few days less, but still, you're going to be tying up your money for quite a while. But right now, the OKC Thunder, after they win the title, and they do so in convincing fashion, knocking off the Pacers by 12 points, they are plus 220 to plus 240 favorites to be able to win the title. And you've got from there the Knicks and the Rockets as short shots over at DraftKings at plus 750. There are some books that have the Cleveland Cavaliers a little bit ahead of the Knicks in terms of your top team out east, and I feel like that's very correct. I do not want any part of the New York Knicks at less than 10-1, so there's that aspect of things. The Timberwolves at 14-1 are intriguing. The Lakers at 16-1. You've got a lot of brutality out west, but I was talking about this. Right now, this team, in terms of the DraftKings odds board, they're the number 10 shot, and how they are the number 10 shot with the best player on the planet, in my opinion, Nikola Jokic, that just feels like value right there. And I know that for the Nuggets, some of the supporting cast that they had when they won the title a few seasons ago is not there, but you still have Jamal Murray there, you still have Aaron Gordon there, you still have a lot of the key components. Recognize that you don't have the coach in Mark Malone, but I mean, I do think that they're going to be set up for a lot of success. When you've got Nikola Jokic, it should be a nice deodorant to whatever stink you might have. I mean, that's a really good deodorant right there. He has been just absolutely amazing for just so many different years. Very durable player. I just feel like with the Denver Nuggets, having Nikola Jokic on the roster, being able to get them right around 18-1, as right around the number 10 shot, like I saw on DraftKings, like, they're the same odds right now as the Celtics. And I recognize that for the Celtics, they are in the Eastern Conference, where it's much easier to be able to excel, rather than in the Western Conference, where it's all sorts of brutal, but I mean, they probably won't have Jason Tatum for like the entirety of the season. If he comes back, it's going to be very, very late on during the season. I mean, not having Jason Tatum versus having a fully healthy Nikola Jokic, yeah, that's a big deal right there. And also the Dallas Mavericks, that needs to be brought up at 45-1. They should be drafting Cooper Flagg on Wednesday. If not, they have just completely fumbled the bag there. But Cooper Flagg, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, maybe they don't have the world's greatest bench or something like that. And obviously the Luka Doncic trade, that was mind-numbing to say the least. But I mean, when you can have those three guys on the floor at the same time, there's something there. What that is, something is going to be, I don't know, but I think the Cooper Flagg is going to translate up very well to the NBA level. Like, we saw him even when he was with the Team USA practices, he was still able to excel in those as well. This guy is going to come in right away, in my opinion, and he is going to tear things up. So that's a little bit of value that I'm finding right there, and I do think that we've got ourselves a very interesting futures board. And if you're looking at the Pacers, in a lot of places that have redone this, because right now there are some places that haven't adjusted from when they were at like 18-1. Like, I'm right now seeing that at DraftKings, 18-1 is just not fair value. Like, even at 45-1, that's not fair value. You're gonna have Tyrese Haliburton out for the entirety of the season, but I do think that the Eastern Conference landscape might be decided by where Giannis Antetokounmpo goes if he decides to stay in that conference. So lots of fun intrigue there, and lots of fun intrigue with regards to everything on the ball diamond. How about if we get you guys some great bets for this Monday? And they're all powered by our good friends over at GBank. GBank is introducing the new $500 trifecta. They've got everything teamed up with us here at VSiN, themselves, and FirstBet, All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa signature card in the first 90 days, deposit, and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger this $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet will match your $100 deposit, and VSiN, they complete the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription all the way through October 31st. That is a $200 value, and that's a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, and First Bet and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank, and this is a one-time promotion that is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer. This will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions, they do apply. How about if we go out to my home state of Wisconsin and take a look at the Brewers playing host to the Pittsburgh Pirates. For the Pirates, it's looking like it's going to be Braxton Ashcraft who's going to be essentially the opener for what is going to be a bullpen game for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Chad Patrick's on the bump for the Brewers. And right now with the Brewers, high 180s or so favorites. I'm seeing as high as a 190 as well. That total is 8.5. And I like this total under. With the Brewers, this bunch has had some of the most demonstrative home and road splits I've ever seen. They're averaging about 5.6 runs per game away from home. Just completely lit a blaze of Minnesota Twins, averaging north of 11 runs per game in that series. And then you got a Pittsburgh Pirates team that, well, they have walked the plank to dead last in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. Yay, verily, that they were able to have a nice performance here on Sunday, but overall, it's a unit that has been averaging about 3.2 to 3.3 runs per contest. You've got three guys on the roster. And keep in mind, it is going to be June 23rd when this game is played. Three guys on the roster with north of four home runs this year. And those guys aren't even hitting for a lot of average, sans Andrew McCutchen, as O'Neill Cruz, along with also Brian Reynolds, both hitting below 225. Then you've got Spencer Horwitz, who's been a little bit up and down. Alex Canario, Henry Davis, Jared Trollo. Just have a lot of guys in general that are not moving the line for the Pirates. Pirates bullpen has actually been decent. You've got David Bednar, who's been looking a little bit better. You've gotten Dennis Santana to be able to give you a sub-3 ERA. Caleb Ferguson, another former Dodger, he's been able to give you some good production as well. So I do take a look at this circumstance, and I do think that's very much set up for an under. Chad Patrick, overall a 3.5 ERA, a little bit smaller as a starter because he had one relief appearance against the Yankees to begin the season. That was less than tremendous, but keeping the ball in the yard, giving up less than a home run per nine innings, he's done a nice job in terms of being able to limit walks as well. So getting this total at an 8.5. I like the under for the Brewers here. Find them right around about plus 105 on that run line. Any sort of plus number would be willing to look there. How about if we look at Yankees versus Reds as Nick Lodolo goes for the Reds and Austin Winans is on the bump for the Yankees. And I'm excited about Austin Winans being able to, or Alan Winans being able to get his return to the big league level. As for Alan Winans, when he was with the Atlanta Braves, he saw pretty much 2 cents of appearances, 8 total games over the last 2 seasons. Didn't really take advantage of them. 7.20 ERA. But for Mr. Winans, he has torn it up at the minor league level. 1 home run allowed in 50 innings pitch, 0.90 ERA. He has been absolutely tremendous out there in the Independence League. And then on the flip side for Nick Lodolo, just not getting the same strikeouts that he has in the past. Only giving about 7 or so strikeouts per 9 innings. He's right now supplying the team with a 3.71 ERA. So he's been solid. But for the Reds, even though this team is ranked 10th in the big leagues in terms of runs per game, I'm just not really feeling confident in terms of this lineup, as this lineup has Ellie De La Cruz, who's been able to give you 16 home runs, his stolen bases have been rock solid, 350 on base, but nobody else on this roster north of 9 home runs as far this season. You've been able to get some relatively good production in terms of getting on base out of Gavin Lux along TJ Friedel, and for the Yankees, 4 runs or fewer scored in 8 out of their last 9 games. That's a little bit concerning, but Aaron Judge, he still has 27 plus home runs this season, still giving you north of 460 on base. Trent Grisham has 15 bombs. Paul Goldschmidt has been a little bit rough for this team, but I do think that he's going to find it a little bit more as well. So I do like Winans and the Yankees on the money line up to a minus 128. And with regards to this total, set mine at a 9.2. 9.5, rich for my blood. I'm going to be in on the under. And then Red Sox versus Angels. Right now that total is 9. Walker Buehler, 5.95 ERA, giving up 1.8 home runs per 9 innings. Jack Gochanowicz, he has been posting up north of a 5 ERA. He's giving up north of a home run and a half per 9 innings, all while being backed up by an Angels bullpen that's currently 27th in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Give me that over, and give me the Red Sox on the money line. I'd be willing to lay up to a minus 144 there, and we're seeing that more in the neighborhood, about a minus 120. What you want to give me as well is a great slate here on VSiN. It gets all started by VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, they do amazing work. They're coming your way 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific. From there, a numbers game that comes your way at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. And you've got Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni and company. That's going to be going down at noon Eastern. And it's all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.